Peter Wolf performing live in the WERS Studio C. And what a great show that was. If you want to hear him do that acoustic, the acoustic stylings of Peter Wolf will be appearing live at the Middle East on April 7th. Tickets are $8. The show starts at 8:30 or 11:30. 19 plus for 8:30. And the big 21 plus show is at 11:30. You think you'll change? Will there be a change in anything from the two shows? Do you think you'll change music selections or anything?
Socks, that's for sure. Oh. Always get sweaty socks. I'm sure we will. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. We sure know enough songs to make them different. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, you know, if they're going to be clearing the turning over the house, as they say in the trade, turning over the house, we're probably doing a lot of the same songs again.
Great.
But you never can tell. Because, you know, what's funny is we used to play at the Fillmore East when I was with the Giles band, and you'd have bands like you'd be playing with Albert King and Allman Brothers and Traffic and, you know, just all sorts of different bands. And there'd be like three bands on, and then it'd be a whole big break, and then you'd start all over again for sometimes a second show. And, man, the band that would play the first show, by the time they got on for the second show, there was chemical changes going on, transformations. There was some funny stuff, boy. People would fall off stage or be carried up down the stairs.
Yeah.
It was something else, because there was just, you know, this was in the late 60s, and it was pretty wild down there. You know, you'd have the original cast of, you know, Saturday Night Live hanging out, and Bellucci and Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and those cats, and it was just a lot of musicians would hang out, and the dressing rooms were really small, so people would just bring all sorts of bottles of booze and this and that and whatever. And so if you went on at 9 o'clock, you'd have to go back on, say, like at 12:30 or something. And between 9 and 12:30, you can get into a lot of trouble, double trouble,
up to no good.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's get back to like some of the Guile stuff. I have just a question about back in the late 70s, when you switched labels from Atlantic to EMI.
Right.
There was like a sound change. What was that all about? You kind of went from more from the R&B, the kind of the dirty R&B, more to a polished, piano-driven pop sound, which, I mean, was more commercially successful for you. But what was behind all that?
Well, man, I'm not really sure there was anything conscious behind it. We changed labels, and, you know, people really didn't want to sign the band anymore. They just figured, you know, we'd been around, and, you know, this was back in the late 70s. So, oh, man, these guys are dinosaurs. They're all, you know, they're done. They're finished. And, you know, and then really our biggest albums were yet to come, Sanctuary, Love Stinks, and Freeze Frame. And I'm not sure we were aware of any sound change per se, that, you know, the aspect of recording changed a lot. We were doing different kind of venues, and we approached records a little bit different. Seth Justman, one of the fellas I wrote with, started handling a lot of the production end of it, and we sort of zeroed in for ourselves, and we might have cleaned it up, but a lot of the roots were still there. So if you listen to things like Sanctuary and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, but we would like listen to, like, you know, Luther Vandross or the Aretha Franklin or a lot of stuff like that, and still, you know, keep our roots intact. So things might have cleaned up in one way, but stayed as dirty in another.
Mm. Now, speaking of like roots and stuff, there's a picture of you in the anthology with all just tons of blues greats. You're in R&B greats. You're standing there with Muddy Waters and Don Covey and Solomon Burke, and I think Percy Sledge is there with you and everything.
Right. It's a the Soul Clan, and it had Wilson Pickett and Covey and Joe Tex, Benny King, and Arthur Connolly, I think, might have been in that. But again, that came from a whole period of Atlantic and guys I used to, you know, hang out with, and I was just a fan. And like with Muddy Waters, I was just a huge fan, and felt so honored that I can just, you know, get to meet these guys, and then ultimately get to hang out and become friends with some of them. So it was an incredible learning experience for me, because they're not only, you know, charismatic performers, they were charismatic individuals. So, you know, walking out into a restaurant and ordering double back bourbon with Wilson Pickett on one side, Salomon Burke on the other, and Don Covey, and each one trying to out-talk the other.
Oh, man.
It's an experience. I remember, you know, when Howlin' Wolf played at the Club 47, he always talking, and real down, and we'd take him to the Hayes Bickford in Harvard Square at that time to get scrambled eggs and stuff, and it's pretty unusual sitting there at 2-3 o'clock in the morning with Howlin' Wolf sitting there as he's yakking to some Harvard student about his sociology exam.
Now, what about John Lee Hooker? Is it true? I heard about this through the grapevine that you and the Giles Band and John Lee Hooker recorded some stuff together. Is that true?
Well, we made some on shows. We played a lot together, and the first band I had used to back up John Lee Hooker and his recordings of that, but not commercial recordings.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of tapes where, matter of fact, when I was a DJ, John Lee Hooker used to come by the radio station. I used to tape him, and he used to play. And I remember I put together this one lunch. I introduced John Lee Hooker with Van Morrison, and they came by the radio show. And John Lee talks with sort of a stutter and very heavy, kind of strange Mississippi accent. And Van Morrison talks with this strange Belfast accent. And two of these guys talking to each other, I swear I couldn't understand what either of them was saying. They understood each other.
And they've recorded together.
Yeah, they have. They did some real, really nice stuff. Matter of fact, John Lee Hooker's latest album called Chill Out. Has them doing Serve You Right to Suffer.
Oh, wow. Which is a song you covered
back
on your first album with the Giles Band.
Right.
Man, it's all connected, you know?
It all goes around in one great circle.
Now, what about your jive influences? Did you come up with that on your own, or did you pull it from sources back in your childhood or something? Like when you used to jive on the radio, and you still jive a lot today and in concert?
Well, the rap and jive stuff really came from the great DJs that I grew up with listening to as a kid, and it was Alan Freed growing up in New York, and it was the Magnificent Montague. And he had a show on it late at night at midnight, and he'd say, talk to all the lovers and say, this is the Magnificent Montague. And right now, we're going to have a little Sam Cooke. And waiting in the wings, we have Aretha Franklin. And Aretha Franklin, she's going to be singing for you. And then there, after him, it'd be a guy called Jocko. And Jocko would be, ooh, bop, ba-doo. How do you do? The time right now is 10:15. And you're listening to Jocko and his rocket ship machine. Give me a ooh, bop, 9. Give me 876. Come on, baby, I'm going to show you some tricks. Give me 4, 5, 3, 2, 1, done. Here we go, blah, and it would just go like that all night.
Wow.
And my sisters and salutations, this is Jocko and his rocket ship show. And so I was all like about 6 years old, and I'd have this big radio underneath my blanket, you know, listening to these madmen throughout the night. And, you know, and then when the Montague would be talking about, let me tell you, let me tell you how to please your woman. Let me tell you where to rub your woman.
Like an early Barry White. Huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was early sexual instructions, actually. Yeah. You know, the only thing I knew how to rub was my toothbrush.
Well, now, okay, let's. On that note, why don't we go into another song? And speaking, you were talking about Aretha before.
Right.
You recorded a track with Aretha.
Well, yeah, I was so honored when they called and asked me to do this duet with Aretha. Not too many people know about it. Sort of a well kept secret. But Nada Michael Walden, who was the producer, was putting together. He did a lot of the Whitney Houston things, and he was doing this album with Aretha, and called me up one day and said, Pete, I'm calling for Aretha. Love you to do a song. I go, it sounds great, man, but I don't think so. He goes, why not? I said, oh, man, it just, you know, no way. He said, come on, man. I said, we're out here in Detroit. Detroit loves you. Come on out and do this. I said, no. I said, you know, look, he said, I tell you what, I'll fly out. Come on out. We'll do it. If you don't like it, we'll just erase it. I said, well, that sounds fair enough. And so I ended up going to Detroit and in this funky old studio. And George Clinton was in the studio, one studio with, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they were recording some tracks. And we were waiting around for Aretha, and it's like supposed to start at 1 o'clock, 1:15, no Aretha, 1:30, no Aretha, 2 o'clock, no Aretha. Also this big old Cadillac limousine pulls up. How come these two guys, you know, the packing rods, you know, come walking out, you know, check the joint out, and then open up the door, and
yeah,
there comes Lady Soul. You know, she walks in. Hello, Peter. She was talking in an English accent. I go, hello, Aretha. You know, and I met Aretha from the early days in Atlantic at the studio. And we're yakking. All of a sudden, I realized these guys were bodyguards, you know, big, tough guys. You know, we used to hang out at the studio all the time with King Curtis. And I said, hey, you know, is that you, Johnny Mac? He goes, yeah, man, is that you? And these guys were like, you know, they were the sweetest guys, but they're all coming on with this, like, heavy, tough, you know. I mean, I don't think these guys would hurt a fly. And we just cut it all live and the thing called Push Me Baby.
Aretha Franklin with Peter Wolf and Push. And, you know, why don't we get back to some of that acoustic stuff that you recorded live for us in the studio last Saturday. And I should also say that coming up this Friday, April 7th, 1995, at the Middle East in Cambridge, right outside the Central Square, you will be performing an acoustic show live at 8:30 and 11:30. Tickets are $8. And it's going to be intimate, you said, in the upstairs room?
Yeah, I think they're going to have pillows. So so bring your lounging pajamas.
That's great. And it's a real small area, so you're going to be like one with your audience.
Yeah, it's going to be very intimate. It's a nice little room, and I'm looking forward to it. It's, you know, it's haven't done really very many acoustic shows, so a little bit nervous. Should be fun. So everyone come on down and get the dirty work done.
And if you want to know what it's going to sound like, we're going to play for you a few more of those acoustic cuts that Peter Wolf cut for us generously in the studio last Saturday, right here on 88.9 FM WERS.
A song I wrote with a friend of mine. His name is Mr. Tim Mayer. He's no longer with us. But he wrote it about the days he and I used to hang out with another friend of ours, Mr. Van Morrison, on Green Street in Cambridge, Mass. Sitting around with a little cucamonga wine, waiting for the sun to come. Yeah. Midnight, you're not around. Grab the late night train from town. Joking in the smoking car. You know how restless some folks are. Me, I like long rides. I got time besides just to think a few things through. And every mile takes me further from Blue Avenue. Back in town. On my feet, walking east on Houston Street, past some heads I used to turn, looking like a girl I'll never learn. See, I don't want bars or shooting stars. They're dead and tunnel I've already been through, and every mile takes me further from Blue Avenue.
Time for school and what you learn, the time for fire and what you burn.